And you may be seated. As I was thinking about that song as we close, I am a child of God, I want you to hang on to that, because as I approach the end of my sermon, you'll see how that ties into a name of our Heavenly Father, which I'll give you a preview is Abba. Abba. I want to thank Daryl Brodigam. I don't see him.
He's in square one.
Okay. But I heard he preached last Sunday. Is that right? No, I knew that because I invited him to do that. But I hear he did a great job, huh? Yeah. So, yeah. And I was at First Alliance in Erie. I had accepted that position to preach on a Sunday half a year ago or so. So I kept that commitment. But it was so good to hear that Daryl had a great sermon. I've wondered this, I don't know about you, but when we come to church on Sundays, we call it a worship service. And so worship is basically about coming before the Lord and looking into His eyes and His face and bowing down before Him and giving a response to Him. But did you ever wonder, like me, why so many worship services don't have much to do about God? I mean, if you look at sermons in American churches just like ours, you're going to hear a lot of biblical sermons on things like parenting, marriage, stewardship, spiritual gifts, church health, biblical manhood, biblical womanhood, conflict management, emotional, spiritual health, Christian relationships, host of other subjects, and that's all well and good. But we can never forget the reason we come together. It's about God. It's about bowing before Him in worship, contemplating Him. And so forth. It's this reason that I come to time in my preaching ministry, that we just stop everything, and for a few Sundays we look specifically at God and who He is and what He expects of us. And so I'm going to have early in my ministry here a 4-week series called Our Amazing God. And so when we come in to worship the next 4 Sundays, today and included, I want you to think about Him. I want you to be awestruck with Him. I mean, all eternity, what will we be doing?
Worshiping Him,
but it won't be a church service, okay? I mean, some people say, if it's a church service, I don't want to go there. Not going to be like that. And so we want to contemplate Him now. So let's get into the habit. Let's get our feet wet about what it means to marvel at our great God. And so, in Our Amazing God, I want to start with a sermon on His names. On His names. The names of God have touched me deeply over the years of my life. And I hope they've touched you as well. In fact, we're going to do something that's a little unusual right now. I'm going to ask you to bow your head, everybody. And I want you to ask God to speak a name to you right now. There's a number of names in the Bible we're going to see. But right now, in the moment of silence we're going to have in just a moment, I want you to let God speak a name to you, one of His awesome names, and maybe He'll impress upon you why He spoke that name to you. So in the silence we have right now, let God speak a name to you. Okay, I'm trusting God has spoken. We're here to worship, but I'm going to ask for some names. What name did God speak to you?
Defender.
Defender, okay. And another name?
Peace.
Prince of Peace.
Holy One.
Power.
Power? Yahweh.
Yahweh. Comforter.
Abba.
Abba? Father?
Jehovah Jireh?
Okay, I'm hard of hearing, you know, so... Healer. Okay. Any others?
Eloi.
Okay. Thank you very much. Back.
The Great I Am.
The Great I Am. Some of these names are going to be coming at you in just a little while. Isn't that awesome? God wants to speak names to you, and I'm going to tell you why in just a few minutes, because he comes to us most intimately and most knowledgeably through His names. I want to take you into a slice of my life now as it relates to the names of God. Many of you know that I read the Bible through every 6 months, and very meaningful, but I have to tell you, in reading the Bible that much, are you ready? It can get stale. It can get commonplace. You know, I read from cover to cover twice a year. And so what I've learned to do periodically, when I need a little freshness in the Word, I will record themes. And so what I've done is I've recorded every verse on anger in the Bible, every verse on fear, every verse on teaching and preaching, every verse in the Bible on holiness. It's all in my notes, every miracle of the Bible. What an adventure that is. But, you know, one of the things I've done even is creation. And every verse on creation I've recorded and I put it into a book like this. Well, one of the things I've done is I have recorded every name, title, and inscription for God. I've written them down as I read through. It's amazing, these titles. For instance, a name would be Lord God. A title would be King of Kings. An inscription would be the God of all truth. And as I was going through the Bible and I was recording all these names, titles, and inscriptions, I could hardly put down the Bible. You talk about freshness. By the way, as I did that, I also circled every name, title, and inscription for God in the entire Bible, in my own Bible. So every time I read the Bible, guess what happens? God's name jumps out at me immediately. I would recommend that you circle every name, every title, every inscription in your Bible, because when you read it, it's right there, pops out at you. It's amazing. Well, I couldn't believe the stack of paper I had going through all the names of God, and I found in the Bible, 427 names, titles, and descriptions of God. I was overwhelmed. The essence of God gripped me in ways that had never happened to me before as I studied his names. Now, you need to know I'm not a scholar on the names of God. I'm basically looking at it from the English, not the Hebrew, although I'm going to touch on that, or the Greek. But I want you to know all you need is English. All you need is to come in your mother language and look at these names of God. They are incredible. You'll be awed and overwhelmed, and God will never be the same to you. So, with 427 names, titles, and descriptions, I had to go and look for a few verses here, and I wish I could go into a lot more of them, but I'm going to have you stand, please, as I read a sampling of some of the names and titles and descriptions of God. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. See these names coming? The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Philippians 2:9-11. Here comes his names. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that's above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. 1 Timothy 6:14-15. Keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. You may be seated. So, what do I say about all the names of God in one sermon? Well, all I can say is, see a little thimble, imaginary in my mind, in my hand? Little thimble, dip in. That's all we can do today. A little thimble on the names of God. As I look at the names of God, I want to share four observations about his names with you today, and then I want to apply one of them that was very special to me, one of his names that God brought to me. So here's the first observation. The major way that God reveals himself to us is through his names, titles, and descriptions. And I don't know if you've ever thought about that before, but the major way that God reveals himself to us, sure, he does through creation and he does other ways, but it's through his names. And you will find all of God's names known to man in the Bible. You won't find any name of God outside the Bible. They are all in the Bible. And I want you to know that the people who wrote the Bible didn't make these names up. These are revealed names that came to those who wrote the Bible. So each name, each title, each inscription is a snapshot of some aspect of God that he wants us to know about him. And he tells us how he relates to us in a beautiful, incredible relationship. Now, if you want to get to know God intimately, you've got to get to know him through his names. His names are what bring clarity to who he is and what he does. And the more you come to know the richness of his names, the more you will come to know him and the revelation of who he is to us creatures. Now, most of us, truth be told, only know a few of his names. And the more popular common names are God, Father, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, Lord. They're wonderful and beautiful names. But I want you to know these are only the beginning of the names of God and who he is. Once you get to know him through his many revealed names, you will be blown away in mind, heart, and soul. But you need to know this. His most important name to human beings is Savior. Savior. We are a lost race. And by his name, it reveals that he came down to earth and through his son procured our salvation. And the number one name we have to understand about God as we relate to him is that he is our Savior. And I want to say to you this morning, if you've never come to know Christ as your Savior, that's the name you need to know and the reality you need to know in your own spirit. If you've never come to know him as Savior, you can see me after the service. You can see a band member after the service. You can see an elder. We'd be happy to share who Jesus is as Savior. You need to come to know him. Whom to know aright is life eternal. So the first observation about the names of God is God shows us who he is and what he does through his names. Second observation, God's names, titles, and ascriptions fall into three basic categories. How he relates, his being, his relationships, and his actions. So let's look at the categories of where his names, basic names fall. First of all, God's being. God's being through his names, it tells us about his nature. It tells us about his character, his qualities. For instance, some of his character names, some of his being names are gracious God, most high God, God of glory, spirit of wisdom and understanding, God of truth, eternal God, righteous God, great God, mighty God, living God, immortal God, faithful God, and majesty on high. Anybody want to say amen? Those awesome names. Names like these tell us about his person, his qualities, his nature. And it becomes clear that God is above all names in every sense in his being, and no one in the universe compares to God. And we learn that from his names. The second thing is his relationships. His names tell us how he relates to creatures. And you know that by his names, he relates to every creature in heaven and on earth and even in hell and Satan himself. For instance, we learn that he's the Lord God of hosts, the Lord of heaven, the possessor of heaven and earth, the Lord of all the earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Jerusalem, the God of all the fathers, head of all things, head of the church, Father, Master, David's Son, Emmanuel, God with us, God my Savior, Lord of the living, Lord of the dead, bridegroom, shepherd of the sheep, Lord of lords. Wow, what a list. And by those names, it shows how he relates to every creature, as I said, in heaven and on earth and below. But he also has a third category of names, and that is the names of his actions, what God does. And perhaps this category is the most abundant in Scripture of his names about what God does. Here's a sampling. It's incredible. Creator, sustainer, helper, prophet, merciful and faithful high priest, savior of the world, redeemer, teacher, servant, righteous judge, chief shepherd, deliverer, comforter, mediator, lawgiver, strong refuge, shield, God my maker, avenging God, wonderful counselor, and the Lord your healer. And did you hear any of those names in our feedback today? Yes. Sure you did. Yeah. His names. They talk about his nature, his power, his actions, and everything he does in earth and on heaven and even in hell is always consistent with who he is and what his will is all about. And you know, when you hear all these names about his nature, his relationships, and his actions, it should make us creatures just bow before him in surrender and worship. And so the second observation that I share with you is that his names and titles and descriptions have to do with three categories: his being, who he is, his relationships, how he relates to things on earth and people, and his actions. And his names along these lines are absolutely amazing. But here's the third observation. God seems to have some favorite names. Do you know that? Some favorite names. Now, most of us didn't choose our names. If you're an author, maybe you chose a pen name. If you're an actor or actress, maybe you chose a screen name. But I believe probably every one of us in this room today have the name that we got from our what? Our parents. They name us. And that's not always such a good deal. For instance, I don't like my name. My name is Alfred. Now that I'm older, it doesn't matter. When I was young, I used to hide that, you know. I didn't. But at 70, who cares? Alfred. But I've often thought to myself, how could you have this newborn baby and hold him up and say, his name is Alfred? That's what happened to me. But, you know, God named himself. All of his names, well, most of them, I'll share one or two exceptions. No one gave God his names. He gave himself his own names. And his names are so deep and rich and personal and exciting. And guess what? God loves every one of his names. And one of his names isn't Alfred. He loves his names. Okay, for the sake of biblical accuracy, God gave his son a name. Remember Philippians? And Philippians chapter 2 says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him. He gave him a name which is above every name. But for all intents and purposes, God gave himself his own names, and he loves them all. But several names come to prominence in the Bible because they're used so repeatedly. In the Old Testament, by far and away, the top two names in the Old Testament for God are Lord, over 6,500 times, and God, used over 2,000 times. Now, the Hebrew name, we already heard it today in the feedback, the Hebrew name for Lord is Yahweh. In the King James translated, what? Jehovah. And in the more modern translations, Lord, capital L-O-R-D, stands for Yahweh. But Yahweh has a simple meaning. It comes from the verb to be. Yahweh means I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. And in its shortest form, his name Yahweh is, I already heard this today as well, I am. I am is the shortest form of Yahweh. And what this name is saying is that no one or nothing else will ever define who God is except himself. He defines who he is. He says, I am the great I am. But what does humanity try to do? We try to tell God who he is. And most of the time, we create God in whose image? Our own image. And so the gods that we have, even in churches like ours, we have created. But God says, by my name, Yahweh, I am who I am, and I say who I am. Nobody else says that. But we try to do it, don't we? I think Yahweh is the greatest and purest name of God. I think it's the name he likes most. He uses it the most. I am. It's the most personal name for God. It's the covenant name of God through which he related best to his people in the Old Testament. And it's the name that the Hebrews look so reverently at, they will not pronounce Yahweh. What will they say? Adonai. Adonai. Adonai is what they say instead of Yahweh. So the number one by far and away favorite name of God is Yahweh. I am. I will be who I will be. God is the second most used name in the Old Testament, and it's more of a title than a name. It represents the one and only true, powerful, and supreme being, and with this Hebrew name in the Old Testament, which is Elohim, God related to the entire world, and it's this name that he used most frequently with his mighty acts like miracles and creations, Elohim, Elohim. Now, talk about an amazing combination. Take Yahweh and put it together with Elohim, the number one and two names. And you got this often in the Bible. You put them together, Yahweh and Elohim, the Lord God, the Lord my God. Well, let's go to the New Testament, to the names most frequently used. And the number one name is God in the New Testament, Theos in Greek. And basically, that's a title more than a name, because back in those days, even the Romans and the pagans, and the cult religions and so forth, they had their own gods. But the Christians took over this name in a very special way, and it became used for the one true God over all things. And when the New Testament uses the word theos, it means essentially the same thing as the Old Testament what? Elohim. Elohim, theos, God, the same kind of concept. Now, the next most frequently used word after the word God, the name God in the New Testament, is Jesus. Or a variation of it, like Lord Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. And there are variations around the name of Jesus that appear over 1,100 times in the New Testament. Remember, 1,100 times, that's a short little book compared to the Old Testament. Now, Jesus was the common name of many young boys in Christ's time. And that name is equivalent to the Old Testament what? Jesus. What is it? Joshua. Joshua. But God the Father made Jesus a very special name with this name Jesus. And he said, at the name of Jesus, Joshua, Old Testament, every knee shall bow, Philippians chapter 2. Now, there's something very interesting here in the New Testament about the name Yahweh. The name Yahweh used the most over 6,500 times in the Old Testament. Never once came over to the New Testament. Elohim did, theos, but Yahweh never came over. Have you ever wondered about the absence of the name of Yahweh, God's favorite name in the New Testament? Do you ever wonder about that? Well, I've come to a conclusion about what is happening here. The New Testament says the greatest revelation of God to man is who?
Jesus
Christ. So in the New Testament, the name Jesus took the place of the Old Testament Yahweh, because Jesus is how Yahweh was revealed in the flesh. Now follow me here. The name Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua. Yah is an abbreviated form of Yahweh. Shua is the name Hebrew, Yasha, meaning salvation. Yeshua there literally means Yahweh is salvation. So the name Jesus is the abbreviated form of the name Yahweh, and in that sense, the name Yahweh made its way over into the New Testament through Jesus. And it's no surprise then, no surprise when Jesus told the Jews who were arguing with him, before Abraham was what? I am Yahweh. That was the name he used. And he identified himself in the New Testament as Yahweh, and what did they do? They became so angry they wanted to kill him. Now, add to this, the author of Hebrews tells us that God spoke to the fathers in the Old Testament in many ways, but in these last days, God has spoken through his Son, who is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. And then add to this, when Jesus said, he that has seen me has what? Seen the Father. So listen, the fullest revelation of God is now Jesus. And that name, Jesus, is above all names, became the equivalent to Yahweh in the New Testament under the New Covenant. Does that make sense? I hope so. All of God's names are amazing. But in observation 3, God seems to show us a few of his favorite names, Yahweh, Elohim, and Jesus. One more observation. God impresses his various names on us as we have need of them. He impresses his names on us as we have need of them. For instance, Exodus 3:6-3, God said to Moses, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty by that name, but by my name Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. And now God is ready to take a new step. He's going to make a nation out of Israel. He's going to have a covenant with them. He's going to become their personal God. And now he reveals his name, Yahweh, to them as he led them out of Egypt. So God revealed his most personal and loyal name, Yahweh, to them in that deepening dealing with Israel that he had at that time. And so when Israel needed to know the deeper name of God, that's when God spoke his name to them, Yahweh. Until that time, it wasn't now. Now, I think that's indicative of what God does with us. When we come to Christ, we start out with his basic name, Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then as we grow in him, we get more names that come our way of him. And then he begins to use these names in our lives when we have need of these names. For example, when we feel unsteady, what name would come to you? How about Rock? When we are discouraged, what name would come to us? Comforter. When we are stressed, what name might he reveal to us? Peace. When we feel lost in the dark, what might his name come to mind? The God who sees. In my own personal walk with God, I cannot tell you how many times I had need of a name of God in a circumstance in life, and that name came to me in an awesome way, just when I needed it most. Now, I said at the beginning of my talk today that God has over 400 names to choose from. So you think he's got a name for you when you need it specifically? He does. He's got over 400 names. And you need to know those names for this to happen, though, because if you don't know the names of God, they're not going to come to you. You need to know them in the Word. So read the Word of God every single day. So that's the fourth observation, that God reveals names to us as we have needed them in our own life circumstance. But for the remainder of my sermon, I told you I wanted to take one of those names now and apply it to my own life in something that God did for me at one point some years ago. I was feeling a little discouraged, alone in the world, wishing I had a kind of a father figure. It was kind of lonely and eerie at that time in my life. And, you know, sometimes you wonder who pastors the pastor. And I was feeling discouraged, a low spot. And that weekend when I was really at my low point, this author and speaker by the name of Brennan Manning came to Erie. Anybody ever hear of Brennan Manning? Okay, so he came to Erie. And I was so busy. Anybody ever busy that you decide, I'm not going to go there? And so I said, I'm not going to go. But God wouldn't let me alone. He said, go hear Brennan. And so I went to hear him. And I got into session two. And I realized why God had led me there, because God had a name for me at my low point. I needed a father figure. I needed somebody to come along and encourage me. And Brennan Manning, in session two, spoke on the name Abba. The name of God, Abba. I was melted as I heard him speak. And I knew right away that that's the name God wanted me to relate to for my specific need. And that's why God sent me downtown Erie to hear Brennan Manning, Abba. I needed to hear that. Now, Marie and I raised four children. And one of the first words the child's going to say is what? Dada. The other one is, uh-oh, but dada, dada. And so they did. And, you know, that's true across the world at any given generation. Now, scholars are convinced that Jesus spoke Aramaic. I'm convinced of that as well. But he was like any other little boy. What would be his first word? Abba, Abba. And he called his daddy, Joseph, Abba, Abba. What does Abba, by the way, you need to know, that was Jesus' favorite name for God, Abba. He used it 148 times, off the charts, compared to any other name he used in his personal relationship with God. Abba, Abba, Jesus, towards his father. So what does Abba mean? In English, daddy, papa, dad. It conveys this sense of deep trust and intimacy, the sort of what you see when a father lovingly picks up his child, like I'm sure Andrew does with Caleb often, and Ben over there. And these children feel love and trust and encouragement from their Abba as they're cuddled on his lap. Here we have the great and powerful creator God, Elohim, whose name is also what? Abba. Approachable, affectionate, who fully loves and accepts his children in a relationship of unprecedented intimacy and trust. That's what Abba is all about. You see, this was something brand new in the Bible. The ancient world, even the Jews, never saw God in an intimate and family way. They had fear of God as a disciplining father and a strict judge. But when Jesus became flesh, he revealed God as Abba for the first time to the world, and this great and transcendent God became intimate and personal. Now, in our world, many people have been hurt by their Abba, haven't they? And for many people, they think about their father, they have negative connotations. And guess what they do? They take those negative connotations and they put them on Abba the Father in heaven. But I want you to know that's the devil's trick to sour you on Abba. Abba is not that way. Abba will never hurt you. He will never abuse you. He will never do those kinds of things. He wants to be close to you. And there's another error out there that people think about when they think about Abba. We tend to think that God will love us more if we're nicer. If we're a good boy or a good girl, then God will love us more. And somehow Abba's love is dependent upon how good we are and how we perform as a Christian. I want you to know that's not true with Abba. And Manning repeated this over and over again. He said, Abba loves us as we are, not as we should be, for none of us will ever be as we should be. And so there's nothing we can do, nothing we cannot do that can make Abba love us more or less. But the truth of it is, he loves us so much that he's not going to let us stay the way we are. And so you've got to get rid of this idea of conditional love with God. Now, I want to be sure you have the essence of the name Abba. Right now, picture yourself as a needy child, needing a touch, seeing yourself on the lap of a father who loves you, and you're weeping, and he's there tenderly holding you, and all of a sudden you chuckle and he chuckles, and before you know it, there's this rapturous laugh coming from your father as you relate to him on his lap. Let this imagery of a child approaching the loving lap of Abba grip you, for that's the reality in the name of Abba. We need to embrace that reality, and what's more, we need to live like Jesus did, with every conscious moment thinking of our heavenly Abba. Speaking of Abba's love, I want you to hear this quote from a preacher and author of two generations ago. Have you ever heard of A.W. Tozer? Mm-hmm. Listen to this. This ties what I'm saying together. An infinite God, Abba, can give all of himself to each of his children. He does not distribute himself that each may have a part, but to each one he gives all of himself as fully as if there were no others. That's about as close to scripture as you can come, although I'm not elevating him to that level. That is absolutely phenomenal. That's what Abba is all about. And I can tell you, if you can picture that in your heart, it could turn your life around. Well, friends, 427 names, I've just given you one today, Abba. He's got 426 others, and you know why it takes 70 or 80, 90 years to live? Because it takes that long to understand them all. And so I hope you're going to have a long life. But back to the name Abba for a moment. I knew that I needed that name. And God brought it front and center to me. But here's the irony as I heard Manning. Just get a hold of this one. Manning spoke without notes for an hour on Abba. So I was completely spellbound. And when I came home, I told Marie, next to Manning, I feel so inadequate. He's so knowledgeable, compelling. It's almost intimidating that when I'm around him, I feel a little fearful because he knows so much. Then I thought, well, who is Manning next to God? Manning didn't breathe the universe into place. He knows nothing compared to the Ancient of Days. He has no glory compared to the Lord of Hosts. But when I say Abba to God, I feel no fear. I feel no intimidation. I feel intimacy. I feel gentleness. It's so interesting. I feel Abba towards God, but not Abba towards Manning. And so today, I try to bring you to the flowing fountain of the abundant and amazing names of God. And then I brought you to one name. Say it with me. Abba. Abba. And I actually believe that Abba might be the second most important name that you will ever know of God behind Savior. I'm going to ask the band to come to the front right now. We want to have a response to our worship. I end where I began. I talked this morning about we come to church and sometimes we don't mention God very much at all. But today we're doing that. And I brought his amazing names to you. And just maybe, as we sing on the names of God, that there's something in your heart that says, I want to have a physical response. I want to get out of my seat. I want to come to the front. I want to stand before him, raise my hand, stand there, maybe just like this, or kneel before him. But I'm asking you that if God has led you to make a physical response, to make your way to the front, and worship him from your heart. Savior and what? Abba. And whatever name else he impresses upon you. If you want to respond to him, I'm going to respond right now myself. You join me down here if God has led you. If he hasn't, that's okay. But if he has, come respond to him in worship. Ben, come up here, would you? Sit on my lap. This guy sold ice cream with me. Actually, we gave it away at the bash, huh? Yeah, how you doing, buddy? Okay, this is the image I want you to go home with today. God put you on a lap. He smiles, he cries with his little boy, his little girl. And there's that intimacy relationship, Savior and then Abba. I want you to leave that way. And let this image be your benediction. All right, buddy? Okay, thank you. God bless you.